Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Had a long place to go. I think that's what he's saying. Had a long place to go. We've covered that part. Two, three, four.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
6:12 Friday, and probably where you are as well. Wherever you're listening, around the country, around the world, around the planet. Intergalactically, I'm assuming it's Friday.
Are you sure he's not saying no place to go? It kind of sounds no place.
We should get the lyrics for this.
Yeah, it's easy enough.
Get a lyric sheet for this? Easy enough. I don't even know what it's called.
The song that opens up the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yesterday I told you that my scientific study had been completed, that I determined that the age of manipulation for women over men was 18 months. Uh-huh. Yesterday, I had some bonus time with Abigail Grace, my granddaughter. And we had another advancement in our scientific work. We had splashing in puddles.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, I thought I'd lost a step. I am still a puddle splasher like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
I take these size 11 and a half and I stomp down in the puddle. That's hugely entertaining if you're 18 and a half months old.
Even with your knees?
Yeah, well, let's say stomp's probably generous. It's not more stomp, it's more tap. But a tap, a wave that could be created by a tap in a puddle to an 18 and a half month old is like a tsunami.
At any point, did she look at you and just be like, okay, don't. This is my time. This is my thing.
Oh, no. That was her thing.
She was into it.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, the puddle stomping. Remember a great story Rick Hogan told me a few years ago about his daughter, that they were riding on the train, and she wanted to get off the train and dance in the rain.
Oh.
With her dad. Wanted to dance in the rain with her dad.
How cute.
Sweet.
What did Rick say?
He said, okay.
Okay. Come here.
Oh, he said, of course.
Yeah.
Those are the moments. Those are the moments. And Mary Vandeveld, you are probably within 6-7 months of that little squirt having that type of personality.
She's only about 9-10 weeks old.
Yeah.
So I got a while.
She yeah, but you get around
her head
that.
Up now and almost rolling over. Very exciting.
Well, much like me. At 6:14, let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Oh, and hi to Anna DeVontis. I had lunch with Anna yesterday. Belated birthday lunch because we don't do anything on time on this show. And she says hi to everybody.
Hi, Anna.
She misses doing the show, but she refuses to get up. She's one of those Rokon lazy types. You know what I'm saying? Get up at noon, stroll in at 2, do the show at 3, out to dinner at 7. Rough life. But she's fabulous as always.
Was she celebrating Tom Brady's 40th birthday?
I don't want to bring it up. I wanted it to be about me, you know?
Right. Of course.
She was wearing his helmet. Item number one, Lollapalooza was evacuated last night. They had to shut it down early due to nasty weather. You probably covered this in the big story.
Yeah,
right?
We'll do this as the big story, too. A lot of unhappy fans because Lorde and Muse was on stage and Lorde was about to take the stage and then tweeted she had a fabulous set planned and it's unfortunate that she wasn't able to play it.
So what happens now? Because it's not like you can move other bands off. They're just done?
They're done.
Last night's schedule is done.
They're done.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Unfortunately.
Well, that's disappointing to me. I'm going to have to see what I can do to sell my Lord t-shirt. Trump has picked John Lausch to be the new U.S. attorney for Chicago. We'll look into it. I don't know exactly background details when it comes to this individual, but it's a big position, an important position. And it's interesting, the tie to this. Now, Mueller, as in Robert Mueller, they're just starting to describe his office of investigating the president to be like a slightly smaller version of a U.S. attorney's office, staffed up with tens of people And all the appropriate accoutrements and the budget and things to go after. It's not just like Robert Mueller in a Sherlock Holmes hat.
Right.
You know?
People seem to really like John Lausch, too. I mean, he's from the South Suburbs. He was born and raised in Joliet, lives in the Beverly neighborhood with his family now.
Oh, I didn't know that. Let's bring him out right now.
I've heard more than one people say about the Mueller team that it's becoming one of the best law firms in the country.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of, another bad day for POTUS. Yesterday, the president found out that the Mueller team has, in fact, impaneled a grand jury. And this grand jury, and we'll talk to Kara Conti more about this a little bit later, but this grand jury is now looking into following the money.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the worst-case scenario for the president, who was in West Virginia last night for the second time, because he likes when people applaud for him. But frankly, who doesn't? Secret Service had to vacate the Trump Tower command post. You want to know why? Go ahead, ask me why.
Why, Steve?
They have a dispute over the amount of rent they're paying. You want to know who their landlord is? Go ahead, ask me who their landlord is.
Steve, who's their landlord?
The Trump Company.
No.
Now, this is probably not a bad thing, because the rent being paid by the Secret Service is being paid by you and me and everybody else. And it's a large dollar amount, way more than it needed to be. And Trump is never in the Trump Tower anymore. When he goes back home, he goes to his Bedminster Golf Club and whatever, you know. He sleeps apparently in the locker room.
Yeah. That might be true.
But it does appear that Melania won't let him back in a house at the Trump Tower. I'm not quite sure what's happening there.
It's still costing, somebody asked the other day, it's still costing hundreds of thousands of dollars still to have that perimeter set up and all this, and all the security outside.
Yeah, they don't have a trailer on the street.
Yeah.
But I think he still thinks it's tapped. Do you think he still thinks Trump Tower is tapped?
Well, only for the tweet, man. Don't get ahead of the tweet.
Sorry.
You're jumping ahead. Next. This is a terrible story. An Indiana soldier who was just 32 days into his first deployment was one of two American service members killed in a suicide bombing attack in Afghanistan. The 23-year-old U.S. Army Sergeant Jonathan Michael Hunter died when his NATO convoy near the southern Afghan city of Kandahar was hit. 23 years old, a month in. So God bless the family, everybody that knows him, the people of Indiana, all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's just a stark reminder of war is not something you see on TV. It's not something you see on a movie screen. People die. So it cannot be tossed around lightly, and it cannot be managed by people who don't understand what they're doing. That's why Mattis and McMaster and Kelly, frankly, are so important as the three towers of military understanding. And if any of them were to leave, I'd be more concerned than I already am. And finally, there's Steph Curry made his pro golf debut at the Web.com Tour's 2017 Ellie Mae Classic. Is this after Ellie Mae from the
Beverly Hillbillies? Ellie Mae Clampett. That's right.
This is the TPC Stonebray in Hayward, California. His first round 4 over 74 was pretty cool.
He may make the cut if he can
do
it
number.
Again. Now, did you see his first tee shot?
No.
A swish into the cup holder of a golf cart.
Well, of course it was.
How perfect is that?
Well, of course it was. I didn't know he was that good a player.
He's a two handicap. And
two handicap shooting a 74 in a tournament is
pretty good.
Is about five under.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And he, at one point, he had a birdie, and he told his caddy, go get that.
Just like Jordan Spieth. Yeah. Well, plus at his age, you know, his back is tender. He doesn't like to bend over.
Of course not.
Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. Lou Manfredini will join us in a second. If you'd like to be Lou's first caller, you need to call us, 312-981-7200, and that'll get you on the radio, and you can ask Lou anything you want about your house. We haven't done whiny staff questions in a couple of weeks. We have time for a couple of the whiny staff members to ask about their homes. And the temperature, very cool today. Might only be about 60 degrees around noon downtown. So be advised, and I've already started tucking in my plants, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
dating back to, I don't know, Lou, what was it, probably 2004 or 5 when I said to you, we should do a first call on a Friday afternoon. Remember those days?
I do remember those days. And it was great because you know why? It was a Friday afternoon.
Exactly. And Lou was good enough to come on Friday afternoons and we do the first call because, frankly, Saturday mornings are like rush hour in traffic.
Oh, that's nice to
the
say.
The calls are backing up left and right. It's unbelievable. Years ago, and you had to be listening, but Lou gave out a cell phone. He felt so bad he couldn't get to all the calls.
Right. Back then I used to do that, but now it's difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
However, if you go by either of Lou's conveniently located Ace Hardware stores, just wait till Lou comes in. And just ask him all the questions you need. Now,
yeah, when I walk in, people see me, and when they see me, they go, "Oh, you're here." I go, "Yeah,
yeah, I mean, yeah." I work here
all the time, but I'm here a lot.
How often do you go to the stores?
You know, the one in Chicago because it's closer to our home more often, a few times a week, and then the one out in Villa Park, I try for twice a week.
Just go out, pick up the bags of money, and leave.
Right, pick it right, exactly. Make the bank deposit. No, we have a remarkable staff at both stores, and in particular, our managers that run both stores are empowered to run the place, and they do a terrific job.
And free,
until they
free
screw
popcorn.
Up,
free popcorn too.
Yeah, Andrea, yeah,
we really haven't screwed up in all these years. It's been a long time.
When we show up for a House Smarts shoot, the first thing people say, "Where's Lou?
Where's Lou?"
Oh, I thought it was
no, they literally
the
do
popcorn.
No, they always say, "Where's Lou?"
And where's the popcorn?
Yeah.
Where's Lou? Where's the popcorn?
No, they just go, "Where's Lou? Is he with you?" No, he's not. Well, oh.
Yes, we have him tied up in the trunk.
Yeah, then we get, people get very disappointed.
The popcorn must be full of everything that's bad for you because it's so good.
It's so yummy.
Why do you have to assume it's bad?
Because.
Oh, because it's probably
salt,
true?
A lot of butter. It's good.
A lot of butter.
Yeah, it's probably true. And let's not kid ourselves. It's not actually butter. It's 10W30.
It might be. Right, exactly. Yeah. We'll get it in aisle 7.
Exactly. If you ever run out of butter for the popcorn, we sell it in aisle 7.
Right.
At 6:25, Lou, this is Graham who'd like to join the fray here. Good morning, Graham. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing just fine, Graham. Do you have troubles? Do you have issues? Do you need help?
I need a lot of help, but I could ask Lou a question about my house.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead, Graham. Yeah, keep the personal stuff to yourself. We can only do so much here. Lou, listen up. Here's Graham.
Got it.
All right, so I've got a house that was built probably mid to early 60s, has hardwood floor throughout the entire thing, mostly right in front of my children's bedrooms. When you walk out of it, the floor squeaks extremely bad, and getting more and more difficult to put my one-year-old to bed without waking him up when I close the door.
Could you give us what that squeak might sound like? Let Lou hear it.
Oh my God, that sounds like Steve getting up out of a chair.
It actually does. It's very similar.
The ghost is back.
Very, very similar. All right, what does he do for his squeaky wood floor?
Well, so the thing is, more than likely, a home built in the 60s, it wouldn't surprise me if the floor is actually up on what's called sleepers because they ran a lot of electrical in the floors.
Isn't that ironic that they're called sleepers
and
no one can?
And so you've got a series of joints and connections that can cause this to be very difficult to eliminate. So you've got a 50-50 chance of this working. Take some baby powder, a block of wood, a dish rag, and a hammer.
That's not a fix.
No,
you're making this up.
I'm telling
That's
you.
Great.
Over the area where the squeak is, I want you to sprinkle the baby powder. Then take that block of wood, like a little short piece 2x4 wrapped in a dish towel. And over the top there, I want you to start tapping on the wood. And you're really trying to smack it. And it's going to do two things. It's going to take the baby powder to go in between the tongue and the groove, and it's also going to help to reset some of the fasteners, the nails that are holding this all together. And half the time this works, and it will quiet stuff down. Then you just take a wet rag and wipe the baby powder up when you're done, and it really does help to quiet it a little bit. If that does not work, your only alternative to really tighten this thing up is to have a flooring contractor come, remove the flooring through those the doorways, which basically, they have to finger new boards in, refasten it, and you have to resand the entire floor. So this is definitely worth the try.
Graham, I would say sell the house. That sounds like a lot of work to me.
I'll give it a shot.
All right. Now, Graham, did you get all that? Because that seemed fairly complex.
Yeah. Baby powder, block of wood, and go to town.
A rag. Don't forget the rag.
Yeah, don't forget the rag.
All right.
Can I just add that when this kid gets older, he's going to want the floors to creak because he's going to want to know, you know, that kid's coming home for a late night.
As I had the Lollapalooza girl coming home last night, the creaky floor came in handy.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, couldn't you set the alarm outside where the light comes on and squirts her with water?
That's good.
It wouldn't be what you want to do to your kid.
No.
All right, Graham, hold on. We have fabulous prizes for you, and that, of course, includes this thermostat situation where you can adjust the temperature of the air in your home from anywhere on the planet. It's right on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weather Makers. It's an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. It's home of the 60 Men. What?
60 Minute Men.
More than 60 Men. 60 Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Any whiny staff questions? Anyone? All right, last one. You going, Dave?
I can't think of one.
All right, so I had the tree removed, Lou, that I spoke of last week.
Oh, yeah.
And as you said, if anyone needs pine needles, I've got a few. Swing by.
Right.
So the pine needles, you've got to get rid of them at some point, but you need to get rid of them before you do landscaping.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea because they will just be there forever. And so the probably your best bet there is just a lot of raking and bagging and raking and bagging and raking. And then if it's a large area, once that's done, new topsoil over the top to create a nice new layer for whatever kind of landscaping you're going to do.
What if I took like baby powder, a rag, and an egg beater? And
good, it would be a little different approach, but you'd get something done. I'm not quite sure, but you would.
Last question: temperatures churning and turning now. For the first time, we've gone from super hot to, you know, this is bordering on chilly today.
Yeah, I mean, don't worry about this. I mean, the biggest issue now is if you've been running your air like crazy, open up the windows because nature's helping you out. And it's really it's good sleeping weather. But no real issue for the home. This is a flash in the pan. It'll be hot in a couple of days and no big deal.
No big deal to you, but it might be a big deal to, say, the Bear, one of our regular texters, or any of the others that chime in regularly because they always want a piece of Lou. As I open up these texts on our super slick text software program here, circa 1912. Hey, Lou, do you know when the corn is ready to pick? The corns on my feet look pretty ripe.
Gross.
That is
gross.
Bad.
Listen, that's our listeners.
It's early.
Okay. 708. Good morning, Steve and Lou. I didn't have a question, but an announcement. The Bear became a grandpa last night for the first time. How about that?
Congratulations, Grandpa Bear. That's awesome.
So a little cub?
A little cub.
A little cub. I like that.
And a texter just when you came on the air, Lou, by Trump Basher. We'll listen later.
Oh,
that person texts every 15 minutes.
That's for you. Hey, you know what? At least you know who you are.
I've denied it. What are you talking about on TV?
Today we're going to talk about cleaning your outdoor furniture correctly, in particular the fabric. All summer long you get a lot of debris and a lot of bird droppings on there, and people, I hear from them, they ruin their furniture. So I've got some tips on how to do it the right way.
And does it involve baby powder and a rag?
No, it does not. It does involve a rag, but no baby powder.
Okay. Oh, and Dave does have a question, as it turns out.
Lou,
oh.
My buckthorn is exploding.
I feel like we've heard that before.
It's really bad for my my reputation, because I have not been able to solve this problem.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Been like, what, 17 years?
Pretty much.
Right?
Essentially. Thank you, buddy.
Love you.
That's right, you too. And American Weathermakers, of course, brings you Lou, and we'll come back with the big story and Karen Conti in a few minutes on what's happened to the White House, what does a grand jury actually do, and where we go from here, amongst other things to be discussed. Oh, and that girl yesterday who was accused of encouraging her boyfriend to kill himself was sentenced. We'll talk about that as well. At 6:32, first this on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti's going to host Brian Noonan's show Sunday from 6 to 9. We have several things to jump to. But first, Karen, since we talk about the law here, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
I wanted to congratulate the legislators of Nevada for taking charge of their state and putting into play a rule that I think we need in Illinois and around the country. And that law is this. It is now illegal to drive less than the speed limit in the left lane on any road in Nevada. Huh? Right?
Good.
You like it? You like it?
Sitting ovation.
Yes.
Prostitution is legal, but driving slow in the left lane,
illegal.
Well, think about it. How will you get to the prostitutes if you're going to dilly-dally?
What?
You gotta pick it up. You got to speed.
There you go.
You should not be in the left lane driving 45 miles an hour in a 55 or,
amen,
in some cases worse. I mean, you can make it an unsafe situation because people are impatient. And by the way, I'm one of them.
I agree.
Well, and you know what's interesting? A lot of states have laws. You know, some of them just say that you can't use that lane unless you're turning or passing. Many states already have that law. So this is not a new thing. But what's really interesting, if you look into accidents, and I've had a little experience in my legal career dealing with accidents, is that the stats are that if you're going 5 miles per hour slower than traffic around you, despite whether you're breaking the law or not, you are much more likely to get into an accident than if you're going 5 miles per hour faster than traffic.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that.
This is a safety issue for sure.
All right. Let's move on to the president, who had another delightful day as POTUS. There is now significant reason to believe, because it's been verified by a bunch of people, including the White House, that there's a grand jury that's been impaneled by Robert Mueller's folks specifically to deal with Trump Jr.'s meeting of June 2016 with the Russian attorney and her posse, or would it be posse ski, with her people. What does this mean, starting with, explain what a grand jury does?
A grand jury can do a lot of things. It sits in it. It can issue subpoenas. It can listen to witnesses. It can compel witnesses to come and testify if they don't want to do that voluntarily. And, you know, they basically will end up at some point deciding whether or not a charge should be brought. They're not deciding guilt or innocence. They're just deciding whether or not there's enough evidence to charge somebody, whether there was a crime committed, first of all, and then who did it, and was there enough evidence to convict that person. So it's a tool used by a prosecutor to get information. You know, we shouldn't read too much into this. It's a lot of people are jumping to the conclusion that, oh, there's evidence and he's guilty. It's not really that way. I think Mueller knows what he's doing as far as using tools that he has, and this is the next step in getting to the bottom of what he's been charged to do.
The grand jury cliche is a grand jury could indict a ham sandwich, meaning that grand juries are impaneled to find enough evidence to go forward in a trial. Do you subscribe to that theory?
Absolutely. There's no defense there. You know, the defense lawyers don't get to be there. The defendant, potential defendant, doesn't get to be there. So it is a star chamber where the prosecutor puts on all of his evidence as to what happened, and there's no other side to it. So the grand jury usually does indict. Now, it doesn't always do that. I believe in the Drew Peterson case, the grand jury, at least at first, did not decide to go forward with it. So, you know, it all depends on what the evidence is. And what another interesting part of this is that Mueller chose a court in an area that is a highly Democratic area, where 90% of the people voted for Hillary Clinton. So let's just say there are charges brought at some point. You know, this is a place where the jury would be largely Democrats. Interesting, because the guy is not political, but I think the choice really makes it, I don't know, I guess if you're looking down the line, this would not bode well for a President Trump or one of his sons to be charged.
Certainly gives him something more to complain about.
Karen, if the grand jury, if the grand jury doesn't find enough evidence to move forward with the case, can Mueller still, or Mueller rather, still say, you know what, I disagree and pursue it? Or is it once the grand jury speaks, that's it?
He could do it with other means. But my guess would be that he wouldn't do that because this is such a public deal. I think that he would want a grand jury, a separate body, to be able to say, we looked at the evidence objectively, we were called from the community, and we collectively decided that there was enough evidence to charge. I don't think he would do that, but he could conceivably do that.
The thing that you said that kind of struck with me, with because I've never gone through the grand jury process, is that those grand jurors could ask questions themselves and that the defense attorney can't be in the room. So since this is sworn testimony under oath that could be used and referred to and is used and referred to later if there's a trial, that's a lot of pressure for the people that are testifying, right?
Well, it is, and a lot of them choose not to, or they'll take the Fifth. Yes, their testimony, you're sworn when you go into the grand jury, so anything you say during that time can be used against you or used to impeach your credibility in the real trial. Yeah, it's a very powerful means, and the jurors get to see all kinds of stuff that, like in a regular trial, you know, we have these rules of evidence, hearsay, these kinds of things that keep a lot of evidence out. In the grand jury, there's really no rules about that. So the jury gets to see things that might even be hearsay and things that normally wouldn't be admissible into evidence. So they have a very broad spectrum. They're almost an investigative tool at that time rather than a guilty, innocent kind of tool. It people confuse it because, of course, the jury that decides a regular case, it really is nothing like that, that body decision makers. They're deciding and investigating whether or not there is a crime.
So we don't know if this is going to amount to anything, but we do know it's not great news for Trump.
No, and his lawyer came out and said, I thought it was a good statement. He said, you know, we're looking to get to the bottom of this, too, and we welcome it. Now, I'm not sure if President Trump is going to say the same thing in his tweets, but that was a statement that should be made by his lawyer that, you know, they have no way to stop this from going on, although I understand that there was talk that Trump maybe was considering trying to get Mueller out, and I think that the Senate is not going to let that happen. But, you know, he's got a dream team of investigators. He's got fraud investigators. He's got scholars. He's got a really, you know, blue chip panel there. And this investigation is going to be done correctly. And we're going to get to the bottom of it one way or the other.
Robert Mueller's behind closed doors. He's got to be like John Wayne in the old days. Yeah. Just walking, talking cool. And you're just waiting for him to come swing the saloon doors open and arrest you.
Well, he's a great guy. I mean, he was appointed by George W. Bush. He was extended by Barack Obama. He's the longest serving FBI director other than Hoover. He's got a Purple Heart from the Marines. You know, he's highly educated, Princeton, University of Virginia. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's a good guy. He's a bipartisan. He's Republican to start with, but he's served under both parties. And I think he's the right guy to do this job.
That's an education thing. I think Karen just brought up was a shot at me because she knows I'm an Ithaca College dropout. It's not a dropout, no. Karen. It's a leave of absence. I can go back at any time. They never expire. It's 6:50. We'll get traffic. We'll come back. Got a couple more issues to take up with Karen, including the sentencing of the young woman who encouraged her boyfriend to kill himself. How much time did she get, if any? And now this. Karen Condi, attorney at law for whom? That'd be your cue, Karen, to plug your business.
Oh, it might help.
Oh.
Actually stuck. There we go. Yes, go ahead. The cue for the plug is on.
If you want to call me, it's 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right, so this young woman inexplicably gets tired of hearing her boyfriend talk about his depression. And then starts to challenge him that he doesn't have the guts to do it, and then encourages him to do it, and he kills himself. She was sentenced to what?
She was sentenced to 2.5 years, but only 15 months would be served, or the rest would be suspended, and then she would be on probation for a period of 5 years.
I don't know how I feel about this. I'll be honest. I think she's a horrible person. I have no idea how much misery she has or hatred she has. And she needs a lot of help. But this is, to me, obviously it's sentenced, so it's a precedent-setting situation, and I guess it's a great message to send. But I know we've had cases in the past where there have been bullies, adult bullies who've bullied children. There was a woman in St. Louis who, for some reason, didn't like the girl that lived next door. I don't know if she mean to her daughter or something, and cyber-bullied that girl to a point where she ended up taking her own life. So I know this stuff goes on. But I don't know. I guess I have misgivings about the fact that he killed himself and she's going to jail, even though it seems like that's where she ought to be.
Yeah, and, you know, in some ways I would really like to just get into her head and have her say, what were you thinking at this time? Because, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, the bottom line here is that a lot of people don't know, but we have laws, most of the states have laws that make it a crime to induce someone to commit suicide, Illinois included. And so if you did this in Illinois, this would probably be a crime, you know, under the code, it'd be a Class 2 felony. But in this state, there was no such law. And so they had to use the manslaughter law which is basically acting in a reckless manner to cause harm in a way that you know that someone is going to cause harm to themselves. And the kind of the pivotal point was the kid was getting out of the car, and it looked like maybe he was going to extricate himself from it. And at that point, she said to him, get back in the car. And I think that's what the prosecutors hung their hat on, that he was getting away from it. He was showing an intent not to kill himself, and she coerced him to come back. And that was reckless enough to say, for the judge to say, that this is a crime. You know, it's very interesting, but it's also a First Amendment issue. When does something you say become a crime? You know, when does it cross that line?
Karen, that's what I was going to ask you, too. First Amendment issue. And does this set kind of a dangerous precedent? Because what if you send a joking text to say Steve Cochran or Dave Ennett, whatever it might be? Oh, terrible day. You know, go jump off the Michigan Avenue Bridge. And they actually do. I mean, how are they going to be able to discern what's a joke? What's serious? Is this a dangerous precedent?
I think it is in some ways, because let's just say that the person you send that email to, you know, is very sensitive, and you know is very subject, you know, to, you know, not liking criticism, and you know he's got depression problems. And so you sent that joke knowing that maybe he would act on it. I don't know. Where does that line get drawn? And then there's also the idea that, you know, people who commit suicide, you know, have control over what they're doing. They're mentally ill. There's no question about that. And you can't explain that either. But, you know, you do have to say that that is a person who is probably predisposed to do it anyway. So what is the camel, the straw that breaks the camel's back? I think it is a dangerous precedent. I think we're going to see more cases like this that are going to test the boundaries.
Has she ever answered to what she was thinking, the question you brought up?
I don't think she has publicly, and her lawyers would obviously want to keep her out of that media arena. But, you know, I'm hoping someday we hear this, because I would like to hear. You know, young people are wired differently. We know that. And
well, this kid needs a lot of help. These calls went on for a period of time, and like you said, he gets out of the truck. She tells him to get back in. And then afterwards, the way she acted, where it seems like she was enjoying the drama of being the girlfriend of the victim and blah, blah, blah. You know, it seems like a mental institution is where this kid ought to be, not jail.
Well, and I think that's what the judge has to do. She was a juvenile offender, but she was charged as an adult. But when you sentence a juvenile, the judge really has to put on high priority, we want to rehabilitate this person, because this person, you know, is a young person, you know, with the right counseling, perhaps she's going to get better and not do this again. And that's the key. If she were an older person, I would guess that she would have had a much longer sentence. But she's going to get mental health treatment. There's no question about that before they're going to let her off probation. You know, it reminds me of that other case with the kids watching the man drown and texting and taking pictures and not reporting the death. You know, you wonder what's going on in their head. Is it just a bunch of young kids with bad impulse control, or is it just some really malevolent conduct? It's sort of beyond me. But
I totally agree. That one to me is even more troubling, because you can have one crazy person who tries to lead a group of others, but to have three or four who do the same thing and watch somebody die. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and as we know, there's sort of a pack mentality when it comes to those things, you know, but it doesn't excuse it at all. And it's, you know, the law is dealing with this, I think, in a pretty good way. I think that sentence was fair. And let's hope that she gets whatever help she needs. And let's hope maybe she can explain to the rest of us what she was thinking.
Well, and the greatest crime, or the greatest penalty, I suppose, is the fact she got to live with it for the rest of her life. All right, we're way late here, but I got to ask you about this, because I know people are driving around who have had bad wedding photographer experiences. 99.9% of wedding photographers do a bang up job and all that, but sometimes people aren't happy, and a wedding photographer just made $1 million in a defamation lawsuit.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I guess the couple didn't like what happened in the photography and went on a campaign to disparage her. And what they said was false. And the jury found that there was false, and there were damages, $1 million. So, you know, beware. A lot of people like to go online and badmouth restaurants and badmouth vendors. And, you know, I understand you want to do that and you want to protect other people from a bad experience, but you have to be careful in what you say, because if it's a fault, if it's an opinion, Steve, you can say whatever you want. The guy's a jerk. I don't like the pictures. But when you have false facts that go to someone's reputation, that could be actionable.
It's like when Karen goes online and says that, you know, I'm a kleptomaniac. I mean, that's not necessarily true.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
Thanks, Karen.
I can't do that because you stole my computer.
I borrowed it.
Touché.
Karen Conti hosting the Noonan Show Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. And what's the number at the office?
312-332-7800 or kconti at kcontilaw.com.
Happy weekend. Our friend Tom Wilson, the boss at Allstate, will join us in a little bit. It's Wee Day time again, kids. We'll come back with the news in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, nice to see our friend Tom Wilson here. Tom's the boss at Allstate, a perennial top 100 on the Fortune 500 list. You would think that would take up all his time. But no, he has time to hang out with us occasionally. It's so good to see you again.
Nice. It's always fun to be here.
How's your summer?
My summer is going well. I love Chicago. We have a house in Michigan, so I spend a lot of time out there. It's nice.
What part of Michigan?
New Buffalo, 73 miles.
Oh, nice.
From the
easy
city.
To get to?
Easy, yep.
Are you a boating guy, or what do you do when you're there?
I'm a bike riding guy and a beach guy.
A bike riding and beach?
Yeah.
Just so you, read can on you the just, beach. Really, you can just sit out and read?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you don't check your phone, and you're not texting, and you're
you
not
know,
doing
the,
anything?
The phone doesn't work out there.
It's
perfect.
It's perfect.
My wife likes it. She's like, you're unattached.
All the, all the millennials on the beach are going, what is he reading? What is he doing?
What is that?
Why is he
holding something that looks to be paper?
Right.
Let's talk about Wee Day, because the Wee Day special is coming around again. When Wee Day started, this seemed like a pretty good idea, and maybe it blows up into something, maybe it doesn't. But this is changing kids' lives every day.
It's been amazing. So we met the group, the two guys who founded it. Craig Kielberger is one of them when he was 12, right? He's a kid when he founds it.
Yeah.
It takes over Canada. We meet and we say, we need to bring this to the United States. So last year in Illinois, we had 150,000 kids doing volunteer work. Makes them more confident, makes them more believe in themselves. They love school better.
They network.
Teachers, yeah, they network and they just learn things.
And was last year the first special? TV?
Tonight will be the third time we show it. Yeah, it's on CBS tonight at 7 o'clock Central Time. And it's an hour long. So what we do is, as you know, we have Wee Day is the day-long celebration of the work they do all year long.
Speeches and concerts and programs and all that.
Yeah, Tyrese Gibson's on it, Oprah Winfrey, Demi Lovato. But
Winfrey, you familiar with her? Whatever happened to her? Did she ever make anything of herself?
I think she had a good run.
Yeah,
she's reasonably well known.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, who else is known by just one name?
Exactly.
They don't. You know, when you say Tom, they don't think about me.
Yeah, Steve doesn't work either. So a great group inspiring kids again, and the cool thing about the TV special. And the follow-up online, obviously, is all those eyeballs encourage more kids to get involved, and it spreads around the country.
That's what we hope, is that parents will watch it or record it, watch it with your kids, with your grandkids, because you see the stories of the kids. Steve, when I meet these kids, like there's a woman, Mary Pat, who we had here in Chicago. She's from Atlanta. She got upset about kids shooting kids, so she took some of her college money and bought a billboard and said, just think twice on it. And it started a movement. Other people said, well, we'll give you some money. We'll do a billboard. Pretty soon, all over Atlanta, they got these billboards. And so we show stories like that so kids know they can make a difference. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can be 12. You can be 15. You can have money. You can not have money. You can be a school leader. And kids step up and do something different.
Hey, think about that. How about that, though? Just something as simple as that. Just think twice before you pull the trigger and change lives forever. And who knows how many people she saved just by that simple phrase.
And it's inspiring to other people.
I think it's cool, too, because when we first started, remember, it was kind of not limited, but volunteering at a park, going and repainting a school. Now these students have come up with great ideas and projects to do. The last time we talked to some students who went to a nursing home and hung out for a day and read and performed and did skits, which I think is so cool.
Well, that's the great thing about it is it's cause inclusive. Like, we don't care what you do. Just do something. So
right.
You were talking about bullying earlier. There are kids who raise money for bullying. They have a bake sale, raise money for bullying. They put signs up in their school. Yep. Kids are aware of it. They're just making a difference.
All right. Now, this is something you got to get on now for next year because it continues to grow. And though it's really well branded here in Illinois, it doesn't mean Illinois schools that haven't done it so far can't get involved. So you've got links all over the Allstate website. That's as good a place to go as any, right?
They can go there. They can go to we.org. The teachers can download materials. You can use our help to get started, or mm-hmm. you can just get the materials and start yourself and then call. So we'll send people out to schools. We'll have people come out and talk to the kids, give them ideas on what to do. So we'll help the teachers. But everybody can do this. You don't need to be sophisticated to help kids volunteer.
Is this one of the most satisfying things you've done as a boss of Allstate? It's got to be.
It is, yeah, because you're making it, you know, it's about helping the kids. That's good. But what you know is that the kids are going to help other kids, so it's like giving it forward. And I don't know where this will go, and it's certainly not because of me. It's because of these kids, but there's something satisfying about seeing these kids go to make a difference.
Has it changed you as a dad? I know when we do Kid of the Week here, we celebrate kids on this Tuesday morning feature who do great things all year long, and you guys are our partners in it. And then I go home and tell my kids, you have to do more right now.
Yeah.
Actually, my kids are great. They're very community involved, and I'm sure your kids are as well. But this opens up your own kids' eyes when you get involved in a program like this.
They are. They do. Our kids equally give back, so we feel good about that. But I ask them to come to We Day with me. I'm like, come see how great this is, because I think when I was early on in my life, I didn't believe in kids as much as I do today. Today, I'm like, they got more than we got. Like, you know, you go, girl. You don't have all the barriers, all the things I've dealt with. And so I think I believe more in youth today because of this. And I feel good about that.
I think believing in them is the greatest first step, because so many kids that we've interviewed have an idea and they say, well, this is the outlet now. This is where I can actually put it into action.
And when you believe in them, then they believe in themselves, and it's a catalyst for action. It's great.
We were talking about the 12-year-old kid who started this. Whatever happened to that youngster?
He's now 33. He's married, just had his first child, and he is still doing this 24 hours a day all around the world since. So they'll actually take kids overseas, so we try to get them to do something locally, something internationally. So he's fully engaged in this. He's written like 10 books. They celebrated the 100-year anniversary of Canada, and he was one of the key people.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Can you hang around a second?
Yeah,
just some traffic.
Sure.
More with Tom Wilson. I need a microphone for this. 7:21. The Steve Cochran Show continues live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Tom Wilson's here, CEO at Allstate. And Tom, you've been a friend, and we've known you for a long time, and obviously we appreciate the partnership. But I'm always, and you know this, I'm always fascinated by what you do, because you're the most normal CEO I've ever met. Are you a tough guy to work for?
Thank you for calling me normal.
Yeah. It's a good name.
You know, I'm all about believing in people, and I'm easy to work for if I know you know. If I think you don't know, then I'm not that easy to work for.
So when you say, if I think you don't know stuff I think you should know?
Yes, yeah. So I'm always asking questions like, you know, and sometimes people are like, why are you asking a question? I don't care actually about the answer. I just want to know that you know. So if you know, then I'm good.
Everybody's busy now. Everybody's about saving time. The drains on this and a CEO of a Fortune 500 company have got to be considerable. So have you got any super secret you want to share with the rest of the world now on how you manage your day?
I look at, first I try to know what my purpose is. So I know what I'm trying to do in life. And mine happens to be, I want to help people achieve more meaning and success. I've achieved more success than I ever thought. So now, and if that's your purpose, then I align my day around that. So when I'm talking to someone, I'm always thinking about how do I help make them more successful. And when I do that, I feel good and I'm getting my job done.
The business of insurance and being the big dog in the yard doesn't make it any easier. It changes constantly. So what goes now? I mean, do you guys have to plan 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road? And how do you do that when the internet changes things every 10 minutes?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, we have to just make sure we do it every day. So we get like 6 million claims a year. So we just, you know, people have catastrophes. We got to help fix their roofs, their cars and stuff. So you got to do it really well there. But then you look longer term. So what's going on with the personal transportation system is just fascinating. The ability to reduce the cost that we all spend driving around and buying cars and all that stuff, it's the single biggest economic opportunity in America. We could have a $3,000 per household increase in their annual income.
On car expenses.
On car, yeah, we have $4 trillion tied up in cars, and they use 3 to 4% of the time. Like everywhere I go, I see, you know, cars sitting around. And it's like, geez, wouldn't it be great if we could use them more often?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is it difficult to deal in this political world that we're in because you don't know which way things are going to go, and politics and the law determine a lot of what insurance and Allstate can do?
We're regulated at the state level, so we get 50 different opportunities to participate. Some states are in good places, others are not in great places.
Right.
We just work with people to try to get done. It doesn't really get in our way much.
Well, you seem like an optimistic guy. Am I reading you right?
I'm always glass half full. You got to believe in people. You got to believe the world is going to be good, and I refuse to get dragged down by all the negativity.
Allstate has a business model, which obviously the rest of the insurance companies in the world do to in different ways. But this is one of the reasons that, and whatever you do with your insurance life, obviously is your business. But I like being able to have an agent, somebody that you can pick up the phone and talk to, somebody that you can say, here's my situation, who do I talk to now or whatever, as opposed to a click-through situation, which a lot of companies do because it costs less to do it and all of that. You ever see that model changing for you guys?
Well, we have all those models. So we have our Allstate agencies. So we got 36,000 people who every day just take care of our customers like you.
Right.
And like one of my daughters, she's got no interest in ever knowing anything about insurance. She just like call and take care of it for me. Mm-hmm. My son, on the other hand, is very much doing it. He would do it on his own. And we have a company, Esurance, which is just click. You just do it online. So our goal is we'll give it to any way you want. Like if you want somebody to help you, we got somebody there. If you want to do it by yourself, we'll help you do it by yourself.
That's interesting. So if your kids had a claim, they don't just go to you and go, Dad.
Fix it?
Fix it.
No, maybe they do.
No, they don't even tell me usually. And then someone calls me and says, you guys know you had an accident? I'm like, nah. I have to circle around.
Right. Again, it's the big Wee Day special. It's tonight on CBS. All over the country, wherever you're listening, check your local listings. But it's 7 o'clock Chicago time. And amongst the things you're going to see on the special tonight and be inspired by, if you're not familiar with Wee Day and you're a new listener to the show or it's the first time you're hearing us talk about it, over 1 million youth participated in programs associated with Wee Day and the foundation, the Good Starts Young, which is part of our Kid of the Week initiative every week that Allstate also co-sponsors. But you've stood up there on that stage. You've stood up on stage in front of all those kids, you know, yelling and screaming and getting excited. What's that like?
It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done because you stand up there and no matter how badly you feel about politics or the world or you get inspired because, you know, these kids are going to make a difference. They're excited, they're positive, and they're doing something good in the world. And so you come away feeling like this is a good country and this is going to be a good place, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to be a part of it.
We're going to have Tom come in every morning.
Yeah.
Snap me out of my phone.
I would love to come in. You guys are first. Thank you for your support, too. This has
always
been fabulous. Like getting people out, helping everybody who watches this show will be inspired. And because you've helped them see it, you'll be inspiring people, too.
And again, I don't want people to miss the boat here. I don't want to scare anybody out of it's too late, because it's not. But if you got a school and you've thought about this for a couple of years and you haven't taken the leap yet, don't wait any longer. Get involved in your Wee Day programs. And get these kids involved in your school. Do it today.
Wee.org.
Get ready for going back to school now. This is a great thing to take back when you go back in a couple of weeks. Wee.org, the best place?
Yes, best place.
Nice to see you, Tom.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's Tom Wilson, famous New Buffalo resident. It's 728. We'll come back after this. More from the Allstate Showcase Studio coming up on 720 WGN. Time to play America's least favorite game show and the one that's the most confusing. It's time for Lollapalooza band I was in, or just another touring band. Yes, there's not one, not two, there's three choices. Three! And of those three choices, you simply pick the one that goes and aligns directly with the band name that I'm about to give you. One of the reasons that this is such a tough game to play is because of the vast number of bands that are out there with funny names. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a list in front of me before we play the game, and we need callers at 312-981-7200. This is just a few from the A's, as in the letter A, of band names. These are actual bands that have performed actual shows. Armed and Hammered. Massachusetts.
Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Almighty Lumberjacks of Death. Ambitious Career Women.
Oh, it's married my band.
Emotional Fish. Angry Samoans. Which is one of my favorites. Are These My Pants? That's the name of the band. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Are These My Pants?
Woo!
Alien Nymphos from Uranus.
What?
That's the band. Oh, you should see their t-shirts.
I bet.
Aardvark Spleen. These are all band names. God. A Boy Named Gomer.
Okay.
I like that one.
It's good.
And now, A Boy Named Gomer.
Live.
Adios Pantalones.
Oh, it's my uncle.
Adios Pantalones?
Yeah, he owns a Greek restaurant on the south side.
Adios Pantalones, I believe.
He got it.
I believe means goodbye pants.
That's. I can't tell you what it means. Can't say it on the air.
Adventures in Shrubbery.
Sounds like a Dave Bennett band.
You know, that's Sean Spicer's band. Oh, remember he hid in the bush?
That's right.
Yeah. Aggressive Crotch Display.
Oh, come on.
And really again, another one of my favorites. And this is just a handful from the letter A. Afghanistan Banana Stand.
Ah.
The Afghanistan Banana Stand Band. Huh? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's why it's so tough to play. Lollapalooza Band, a band I was in, or just another touring band. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. Very well.
Thank you for joining us for this very stupid game. All right, I'm going to give you a band title, a name of a band. You tell me which category it fits in. Is it a Lollapalooza band? Is it a band I was in? Or is it just another touring band? Are you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
The band is Lard Dog. Lard Dog. And you can ask for help.
Oh, good Lord, help me.
All right, so let's go to Vandeveld. Lard Dog, what do you think?
I think that's a band you were in.
Okay, Dave, what do you think?
I think it's band at Lolla.
At Lolla?
I think it's a touring band, not at Lolla.
Okay, so there's all three categories. How'd that help you out, Mike? Is that helpful?
I'm going to go with a band at Lolla.
A band at Lolla.
Yes,
yeah! Oh, nicely done.
Thank you.
Mike,
yeah,
Mike,
glad I could help you, Mike.
Way to go, Mike.
Mike, I hope you appreciate I gave you long enough to Google that. All right, hold the line. You're a big winner. Let's go to Ron on the north side. Where are you, Ron? Where are you on the north side?
Around Lawrence and Pulaski.
Sure, yeah. What do you do for a living?
I'm an artist for the state.
What do you mean? You do like oil paintings of the state of Illinois? What are you, an artist for the state? What does that mean?
I draw unemployment.
Oh.
All right, well, good luck in being in between opportunities here. We all have been there. The band's name is Basketball Nuns. Basketball Nuns. And boy, if you've ever seen nuns play basketball, this is a good band.
I'm going to ask for some help.
Basketball Nuns, Vandeville.
Oh, that's a band you were in.
Okay, Dave?
Touring band.
Touring band?
I think it's a Lolla band.
Here
and
we
I'm
go.
Not just, I know.
All
I'm not
three
just
categories
that.
Again.
I do.
All right, no help whatsoever, Ron.
Sorry, Ron.
Go ahead and make your choice.
I'm going to say it's a Lolla band.
Sorry, it's an actual band I was in, and I was lead nun.
Oh. Yeah. So can we call you sister?
You can if you want.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, whatever. Ron, hold on. We have fabulous consolation prizes, which will be a lot like the prizes the other people won. And we have another Ron from Sominok. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I love Sominok. It's beautiful.
You've been there?
Well, yeah, many times. No, I'm not kidding. I really have. Why does everyone think
really?
It's a joke?
I know. Because you don't
it's
make...
It's pretty far west. It's a pretty long drive.
You don't make things up.
I live... No, I don't make things up. I live in a double-wide Nice St. Louis, dude. I'm
See?
Not afraid of driving.
Right.
I mean, come on. All right, I will give you the title of a band. Now, keep in mind, we've done a Lollapalooza band. We've done a band I was in. The third category would be just another touring band. Not that that's necessarily where this band is coming from, but I will tell you I'm running out of band names. All right, so let's go to the category now. The band's name is... Your Damn Neighbors. Your Damn Neighbors. Is it a band I was in, a Lollapalooza band, or just another touring band?
Can I get a little help?
Sure, yeah. So far, that's worked out really well. Let's go in reverse order, Andrea.
I think it is a touring band, not a Lollapalooza.
A touring band, Dave.
I also think it's a touring band.
All right, Mary.
I ditto on that. Touring band.
Touring band. For the first time, we have a unanimous consent degree. What is it?
I think I'll have to agree with everybody. A touring band.
Woo! That's a touring band, all your right. Damn Neighbors.
We actually helped this, Ron.
There's no extra prizes in it, but let me try one more with you, Ron. Naked David Hasselhoff. Naked. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Naked David Hasselhoff. Woo-hoo. That's the band name, Dave. I mean, Ron.
A Lala band?
No. I should have left it the last one. No, that's another touring band.
But it is a band, though. We got that right.
Yes. Would you like one more chance?
One more, sure.
All right. The band's name is Oh No, Oh My. Oh No, Oh My. Is that a touring band?
Oh no,
I'm sorry?
Oh No, Oh My.
Oh No, Oh My.
Oh No, Oh My. Okay. Lala band.
You know, if you miss one more, I'm going to take back the prizes you've already won.
Poor Ron.
Oh No, Oh My is also a touring band. Let me give you one more here, just one more. The band's name is OK with two O's. Okay. By the way, they were on tour with Oh No, Oh My. Mm-hmm. Oh No, Oh My, and OK, we're both together in the same building.
But they're not, this is not...
Fewest letters ever used on a marquee.
It's not OK Go, though.
No, that's a different band.
Okay.
This is OK.
Would anybody else there have any help for that one?
Yeah, but they're not going to give it to you.
Oh.
OK, why don't you get one, I need to get one more right.
I'll say a Lala band.
Yes!
All
congratulations!
Right.
You're starting to scare me. I thought we'd be here all day. Congratulations, man. You're a big winner. Thanks. And take care, and I'll see you in Seminole. 7:47. Steve Cochran Show.
Successful game.
How about four super cool dudes?
That is a band.
But, yes, it is. But is it a band I was in, a Lollapalooza band, or a touring band?
Lala.
And you were in.
Band in some kid's garage. Oh, that's not a kid.
So we all disagree. All right, what is it? Lala?
Four Super Cool Dudes is?
Lala Band.
A band I was in.
Oh. Yeah.
How could I tell you Four Super Cool Dudes if you wouldn't know it was a band I was in?
Yeah, come on.
See, you
please.
Did practice.
It's so obvious.
Please.
Donald Trump's Brain. Is that a band I was in?
That's a band you were in.
Yes,
that's a band
exactly.
You want to be in.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
That's a band they kicked you out of.
The Russia story is a total fabrication. It's just an excuse for the greatest loss in the history of American politics. That's all it is. It just makes them feel better when they have nothing else to talk about. What the prosecutors should be looking at are Hillary Clinton's 33,000 deleted emails.
You picture him in the private residence in his bedroom at night with his little Trump nightlight on, covered in orange hair, looking around the room, and every shadow looks like Hillary, because he's clearly haunted. He retweeted this morning a picture of the electoral map.
Oh, my God.
The election was November 9th, right?
8th.
November 8th. I don't know about you. I've moved on.
I think everybody has moved on.
And every bit of the discussion on this show, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, has been about him being either terrible at his job, complicit or illegal in his actions, and the hope that he'd be better because you only get one president and he's the guy. Now, last night there was a big story that's spilled over into this morning, and that's the transcripts of the phone calls back in January when he first went into office. Have been leaked, and in those transcripts are embarrassing conversations between he and the president of Mexico and he and the prime minister of Australia. And frankly, they're not complimentary to either side. In the call with the Mexican president, he admits that the wall is a complete charade, and he knows they're not going to pay for it, but he is asking the Mexican president, very forcefully asking the Mexican president to play along because he needs his help politically.
Mm-hmm.
And we said from the moment, look, you didn't have to be Einstein to come up with this notion, but we said from the moment he brought the wall up, there's not a chance he can get it paid for by Mexico. It's not going to happen. It's just logic. It's just common sense. And Mexico go, yeah, here, I want to put a wall up and we're going to pay for it. Yeah. I mean, think about your neighbors. Okay? Your neighbor's next door. And you'd like a fence. So you're going to build a fence and then you're going to knock on the door and give them the bill for the fence? It's idiotic. It doesn't make sense.
Not going to happen.
The Australian call wasn't a whole lot better when he completely didn't understand why the Obama administration had made a deal to take in refugees that Australia could no longer take care of in a way that was fitting of a human being. And he immediately jumped to, I can't believe we got stuck with this, and I hate this, and Malcolm Turnbull, you're a huge loser, and essentially hung up on him. So those are the things that he's out there trying to create a diversion over this morning so you won't be focused on those. Or here's the alternative theory, which is out there this morning. The Trump White House leaked the transcripts.
That is a huge possibility.
Now you're saying, why? Why would they leak the transcripts that make the president look foolish? Well, the president's in some desperate straits right now. If you could leak the transcripts and those transcripts are run with by the media, then what do you have? You've got at least several days where you can go with, look at the terrible leaks that are out there. All the leaks that are out there that could destroy all future presidencies. If you're a foreign leader, why would you call the White House with these leaks that are out there? You can't be trusted to even have a conversation with the president without them leaking. So the story becomes about the terrible media and the leakers and not about the content of the phone calls. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm conflicted about this. Because here's why. The president of the United States has to be able to have a phone conversation with a foreign leader without a concern that every word of it will be leaked to the Washington Post or wherever. Mm-hmm. But the information that we got from these transcripts is transcripts are extremely valuable because it confirms things we thought we knew that we now do know. So what do you have? Do you have a world where you need these leaks at the highest level to show the guy's incompetent to build your case to get rid of him? Or do you let him have these conversations, which you ought to be entitled to have as the president, and punish and penalize the leakers if, in fact, you find them? There's been a notion since January that there are a lot of people in government who stay in government as a career and as patriots leak information. They think that the media and therefore the public needs to know so that we don't have corrupt people running our government. Well, that's gone on since the beginning of time in this country.
I'll tell you someone who's probably thrilled with this news, whether there are leaks or not, Jeff Sessions. How can you imagine him being getting the phone call? Hey, we think there's leaks. You're going to do the press conference. You're going to make the announcement. So he's basically back in the good graces. Take some of the pressure off him.
Well, and H.R. McMaster, H.R. Puffin stuff McMaster, he, along with John Kelly, has privately assured Sessions that he's okay. And Kelly has reached out to Robert Mueller and said, Mueller, you're okay. You're not going to get fired.
Oh, I'm sure they're, breathing a sigh of relief, Mueller.
Well, I don't know how much Kelly can control the president, but in the first week, he's done a decent job.
Yes.
So, again, I'm admitting to you, I don't know, quite how to process this information about these very specific leaks, other than the fact that reading them will make you very uncomfortable because the president has no idea what he's doing. Now, it was his first week in the job. But if you can tell me how much he's learned in the last 6 months, I'll tell you, I don't see it. So that's out there this morning as well. At a couple of minutes before 8 o'clock, Dean's coming up. Willie Geist coming up next hour. Willie Geist talked to Bette Midler. That'll be his Sunday morning Today Show interview. We'll talk to Willie a little later on. Time Out Chicago says they've got the great staycation for you. And a story this week about one-day trips from Chicago that you can take. And then a young man named Dan Hampton will be on. I don't know if you know Hamp, Hall of Famer, from the Chicago Bears when they played football.
Love Is he him. The guy you call the little hamster?
The little hamster's back. And again, I'm conflicted about this story because I'm not confident about this Bears season, but I love having Hamp on the show.
Well, I mean,
I know he's hooked up to a blood pressure monitor at all times.
Yeah. I think that he will get you feeling better about the Bears.
Okay. Right.
Or not. Or not.
You just said the word staycation.
Yeah, I don't like that
word.
And
you told me yesterday you weren't going to say it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Woohoo! Rock and roll.
Atomic Jello.
Pardon?
Is that a lettuce? Is that a Lollapalooza band?
Lollapalooza band, yes.
No, it's a band that's touring. Aunt Claire's liver.
That's a. What are my choices again?
It's a Lollapalooza band, a band I was in or a touring band?
A band you are in?
No. No, it's a touring band. Avenging Lawnmowers of Justice.
Band you were in.
No, it's a touring band as well. How about the Bad Housewives? Bad Tequila Experience? Here's a band you and I were in. Baldy Locks.
That one is a Lollapalooza band.
No. The Baloney Ponies?
How about if I throw in a band name? Dean sucks at this.
The Banana Blender Surprise?
Band touring.
Yeah, very good. Congratulations. The band formerly known as Sausage.
I noticed the pattern here after like 10 band names. Band touring.
Yes. A band named Bob.
Band touring.
Yes, that's good. How about this one? This is one that I've never seen these guys play, but I hear they're good. Bandover. Listen to the 70s. These are all touring bands.
Wow.
The Bang Gang. Barbecue Bob and the Spare Ribs. The Barstool Prophets, Bathtub Holiday, Beer-Bellied Scum from Central Bucks County.
these crazy millennials and their nutty band names.
Bertha's Mule, Big Fish Ensemble. This is another great band name, Big in Iowa. Ladies and gentlemen, they're Big in Iowa. Here's Big in Iowa. Big White Undies is a touring band.
I was in that group for a little while.
The Biggest Freak in New Jersey. That's another touring band. So is Bimbo Toolshed. Bjorn again.
I like that. Do they all wear swan dresses? Like the original Bjorn?
Bongzilla? Here's one that might make Dean angry. Bozo's Porno Circus.
Hey.
The Brady Bunch Lawnmower Massacre, the Bright Blue Gorilla, Bullwinkle Gandhi, the Bus Station Loonies, and Butt Trumpet. Those are all touring bands.
Not funny, you just sounded like you just said Butt Trumpet.
That must have been another show.
That sounded like it.
That must have been a different show. How are you, man?
Got to get these earphones fixed. I'm fine. I had a delightful day at Lollapalooza yesterday because I left in the afternoon, early afternoon. And it was beautiful and sunny, and the music had already started, and lots of different bands were performing, some of the younger bands that playing on some of the smaller stages. And then after I left, the clouds came and washed away all the fun.
So the acts that didn't get to finish or even start, like Lord, they're done, right? There's no room for them to play?
No, there's not. Lord is saying that if it's possible, she's going to try to do a club date to make it up to her fans. But she did play for about 20 minutes.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she got on stage for about 20 minutes. It was raining. You could see in the footage that she was soaked, and the camera lenses were covered with rain. So you could see why they did it. And they did the right thing. The Lollapalooza people did the right thing.
Yeah, there's lightning all over.
It's Lollapalooza and the Office of Emergency Management with the city. They are the ones that they sit and make the decisions together. Mostly with Office of Emergency Management having the final call on public safety. But they made the right decision. Fans, most of the fans that I talked to yesterday were there to see Lord. They were very excited. I'm sure that they were extremely disappointed. But, you know, they were all playing in the mud also. You know, that's part of the Lollapalooza experience lately.
Yeah, but when the lightning is flashing over the lake, get out. I mean, you know, it's for your own safety.
Oh, Dad. never let me have any fun that might kill me.
Let's go over some highlights here. What's the roller rink?
That's new at Lollapalooza this year.
This looks so cool. Have you done this, Dean?
When I was there, nobody was there yet.
Ah.
Because I was there and the park hadn't opened up yet. But you can take a little break, Steve, from seeing some of the bands that you just mentioned. And stop in. They put up a roller rink in Grant Park. You rent some skates, get out there.
It's a cool idea.
You know, figure eights, couples.
Well, I'd go full roller derby. I'd start throwing elbows, run a jam.
Yeah.
Did they have the disco light and the backwards skate?
They have the disco balls hanging prominently.
Disco balls. Band I was in or Lollapalooza band?
What's the band you were in?
Okay. Performers walking off stage. Wasn't this because of the weather? Or were there others?
No, there was a singer named Liam Gallagher.
Okay. Liam Gallagher. You know, these guys are just, they've been creeps forever.
Do you know Liam Gallagher?
Yes. Liam Gallagher and his brother, what's his brother's name? Let's go to Jake on this.
I don't remember his brother's name. I remember Oasis, the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a former frontman for Oasis.
Which they had two hits, and they're great songs, and everybody loved them, but the brothers hated each other. So they split up, and Liam Gallagher's just a creep. He does this about every third show.
A lot of people commenting that yesterday Liam Gallagher was being Liam Gallagher.
Yeah.
Nobody was terribly surprised. Did three songs on his set, and took his earpieces out and walked off the stage.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to do this anymore, don't do it. Don't take people's money and do a half-ass show.
Well, it's unfortunate.
Now, here's my solution to the weather if there's any more this weekend. I brought this up earlier, and I got to say, I don't think Andrea signed on for this yet. But I want Eric of Eric and Kathy, or Eric and whoever, to be the guy that announces to the crowd that they have to go home.
Why?
Well, just because he's a music DJ. He's the big music DJ in town. So he should be the guy that makes the announcement.
Do they even play music on that show?
I think so, don't they?
I don't know. I don't listen. I'm on this show.
Yeah, the Mix plays music. Mix plays music all day.
I don't know about this show.
Yeah, so he should be the guy. He should be the guy to break the bad news to everybody. Now, if there's a giant talkapalooza where, you know, Grant Park is taken over by a bunch of people talking,
then you'll host.
Then
that.
I'll tell people they have to leave. I don't think Dean signed up for this.
No, thing. See, we're on the same page.
I don't think Dean's on the same
Who
page.
Who does make the announcement?
I know they have
video
loudspeaker
screens all over Lollapalooza now, and you know a speaker system. I suppose
it's Mike Madigan.
There,
I was going to say
Mike Madigan. Speaker Madigan makes an announcement.
Some poor politician. Some poor guy from OEMC.
Can't get Mike Madigan on the show, but he's at Lollapalooza all week.
the politicians always get booed at those events anyway. You may as well put someone there who's already unpopular.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. The lineup today is anybody big?
The Killers.
Oh, the Killers, sure.
Killers are big.
Love them.
K-I-L-L-A-Z.
Killers. The Killers. Blink-182 is also headlining today. And DJ Snake. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Run the Jewels.
Run to the Jewel? Is that
is that
something you're planning on doing, or is that a band?
I can't remember if that's my shopping list or if that's my Lollapalooza list. I may have my lists mixed up. We've got the full lineup of everything going on my page, WGNTV.com/Dean's List.
By the way, speaking of the Killers, Captain Crunch and the Serial Killers, also a band.
At Lolla?
No, touring band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good group. You love their music, but for some reason, after their concerts, the roof of your mouth is bleeding.
Shredded.
Yeah.
Boy. You know what I'm saying? How about Carnage Asada?
I like a good Carne Asada.
No, this is Carnage Asada.
Oh.
Carnage Asada.
That's a touring band.
See what
band.
They did there?
Yeah,
that's
I like that.
Band.
Clever.
Mm-hmm. This is one that Orion was in, Cattle Decapitation. Is there anything more amusing to me than this list?
No,
Let me just answer the question.
I don't
no.
Think so.
At 8:20, we're going to come back. Dean has some movie reviews, including his girlfriend Halle Berry's movie. And
this
we'll
is like
out.
When my uncles would sit around and talk about Benny. Who's better, Benny Goodman or
Glenn Miller?
Yeah, Glenn Miller. Yeah. Just sitting there.
Have you ever seen Dick Duck and the Dorks?
I saw him yesterday.
It's 8:21. We're back with more of this foolishness. We'll find out why Tom Wopat got arrested. But before we get to any of that, here's Mary.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. Can I add one more entertainment item?
Oh, I'd love it.
Today at noon, the Mooch, Anthony Scaramucci, Scatamooch, Scatamooch, will you do the Fandango? He is doing a live Facebook Live event to update us on his whereabouts and his plans. And I don't know about you. I have been on the edge of my seat worried about the Mooch all week.
I'm normally on the edge of my seat, but for this, I'm standing up.
Okay. All right.
That's how excited I am.
We do have the actual excerpt of the phone call that got Mooch into all the trouble. And, well, let's play a little piece of this. This is appropriately bleated and bleeped. Okay. We use an actual goat to bleat this up. Here you go.
And Ryan is a paranoid schizophrenic, paranoiac. What he's going to do is, maybe Bill Shine's coming. So let me leak the thing and see if I can block these people the way I blocked Scaramucci for 6 months. Okay, but he leaked the CFIUS stuff on me. You know, my financial disclosure's been leaked to Politico.
Yeah, so.
Which is a felony.
But I wanted to ask you if you wanted to be profiled.
I don't want to be profiled.
Well, just
I'm
what
not
you're
Steve
trying
Bannon.
To do. What you're trying to do.
I'm not Steve Bannon.
No.
I'm not trying to suck my own. I'm not trying to build my own brand off the strength of the president. Okay. The Mooch showed up a week ago. This is going to get cleaned up very shortly, okay? Because I nailed these guys. I got digital fingerprints on everything that they've done through the FBI and the Department of Justice.
Hey, wouldn't you wanted to be in the room with John Kelly when the general threw him out?
Oh, completely.
That is so classy.
Just the best. Anyway, the Mooch at noon, and no, I'm not kidding. All right, so this Halle Berry movie,
the
we
Mooch
love
at noon.
We love Halle Berry. Do we hate this movie?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel bad. I feel bad hating the movie because I do love Halle Berry, and she's a sweetheart and has been very...
She's kind of pretty, too. Have you noticed that part?
Very, very attractive, no. But both inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie is just... It's one note. That really, more than saying it's terrible. Well, it's pretty terrible. It's the movie is really just one note. It's her being frantic the whole movie, and... You know, part of me, you know, can certainly understand that. The premise of the movie is she's at sort of a carnival with her little son who goes missing. And she sees the person who has taken the little son can't quite catch up to the person. And she goes on, you know, she goes frantic trying to find her son. Feels like she's not getting any help, takes matters into her own hands. You know, so yeah, I get that a parent would be frantic about it, but I think when you're telling a story about something like this, there has to be more to the movie. There have to be more levels to it. It can't just be one tone, which is pretty much what this movie is. It's frantic and manic. I will give her credit for doing things in a minivan that you know may bring back the popularity of the minivan. She, you know, there is stunt driving that goes on in this minivan. I doubt she did very much of it.
It says something about me, the fact that you said Halle Berry does stuff in a minivan, and of course, I went in a completely different direction.
Thought of that the moment that those words came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I probably should have used some other words. But yeah, overall, disappointing. And I wound up giving it Dean's List C-.
And The Dark Tower is Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba. I mean, Idris Elba, great actor. I think Matthew McConaughey is a great actor.
McConaughey is an Oscar winner.
But this movie is also terrible.
This movie is, here's the good thing that I can say about Halle Berry's movie. It's better than The Dark
Wow.
Tower.
Wow.
Yeah, this one is just a complete mess. Idris Elba's character is part of a sort of an ancient cult of gunslingers, like old Western gunslingers. And they are the only ones who can defeat this sorcerer who is called the Man in Black. That's played by Matthew McConaughey. So it's the back and forth between the two to save the world. And this movie, it's pointless. The dialogue is embarrassing. The action is nothing special. This one really fails on almost every level. So I wound up giving The Dark Tower Dean's List D.
And in the best movie of the weekend, then, by far, has to be that A-list movie star Al Gore, starring in a sequel which involves, I assume, gratuitous violence, car chases, and lots of nudity. It's the sequel to An Inconvenient Truth.
Hang on, I'm trying to get the visual image of Al Gore doing nude scenes out of my head for a minute. I don't know if I'm going to ever be able to unsee that in my mind.
Well, I just assume that's what would make it a big hit.
Yeah, he mostly narrates this movie that is the follow-up to his documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, that came out, believe it or not, 10 years ago. I was surprised it was that long ago. It won an Academy Award for Best Documentary. He's back with updated scientific information. He's back with the world's response to it all. He's back and has the directors of this movie updated it as things were happening. When Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Accord, that now is part of the film. So it's a pretty up-to-date sort of call to action on where we are with climate change, with global warming. I liked the movie. I thought it was pretty great because I believe the scientists, but I know that there are plenty of people who have very strong opinions about global warming and climate change who thinks it's a hoax and thinks that
less and less every day
that it's not true. And I'm sure those people are going to find this the stupidest movie that's ever been made. So if you believe, the scientists about climate change and global warming, I think you're going to find this very enlightening. It'll bring you up to date on the latest of what's happening, not only what's going wrong with it, but with what's going right, with solar and, you know, how we, in many ways, we have moved quite a bit in the last 10 years. I wound up giving this a B+. So I don't think it's quite as sharp as the first movie, but it's still pretty pretty poignant and still says a lot.
And I guess all I would say is to the doubters, because I used to be one, is the evolution of the Earth environmentally goes on, and we need to behave better as citizens than to make it exponentially worse. You're not necessarily going to fix it. You're not necessarily going to stop it. And it's not going to be fixed by just throwing money at it. But there are hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars in economic possibilities in saving the planet, and a lot of downside if we don't. And just behaving the way we have behaved isn't going to help.
Yeah, and I think that the movie speaks to that. You know, it speaks about the consequences of places and things that have not happened over the last 10 years and the consequences of those things. So
I just go back to when we grew up, nobody recycled. Nobody recycled. People threw trash out the windows of their cars as they were driving down the streets. Right. We don't do that anymore, and we recycle. And look at the difference recycling has made. Right. I mean, so why not just try to be better? That's all.
I do miss that we can't return our pop bottles anymore and, you know, get the deposit on
them. Hey, move to Michigan.
Get the 10 cents.
I think in Michigan they still do don't they?
They still do that there?
I think so.
Get a quarter now.
I think that's true. Electric prostates. Is that a touring band or a band I was in or a Lollapalooza band?
The touring band, of course.
Touring band, that's right. Yeah. Why did Tom Wopat get arrested?
Steve has got the encyclopedia of touring bands in front of him today. For anyone to pick another list today would be madness.
Evil Nurse Sheila.
Evil Nurse Sheila?
Yeah, that's
is the name of the band?
Yeah, it's a touring band. I like this one, the Flatulent Chickens.
If you've ever been around a flatulent chicken, you wouldn't make fun of that. Not pleasant.
I think Jeff Hoover, one of the producers there, wants to play the lead role.
So former Dukes of Hazzard star Tom Wopat was arrested in Massachusetts. He is charged with the possession of cocaine and groping a fellow cast member in a musical that is in there right now.
What the hell musical is it?
What is the musical?
Cocaine and Groping, the musical.
I think I remember that it was right here in River City, and that started with C. What's that? We got Trouble. Music Man?
Yeah.
Music Man?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I believe that's what it was. But anyway, a cast member is alleged that he grabbed this actor, actress in the buttocks region.
Mm-hmm.
He is denying that, that ever took place. But still, he's been charged with indecent assault and battery. And also, when they arrested him, searched his car and found two bags of white powder.
Wow.
And, you know, they're still determining whether or not that was cocaine. Possible that he was going to go home and make some pastries. And just, you know, needed some, you know, borrowed a cup of powdered sugar from someone. That's happened.
Tom Wopat's got to be 60 or older, isn't he?
I just saw his age here. 65 is his actual age.
Boy, I don't know. You're doing blow at 65. You got some issues.
Allegedly.
How about Freud Chicken? I can do the rest of the show.
Band you were
just
in.
Just looking at this list. I wish that was a band I was in.
Yeah. And there's a warning to you listeners out there today. You just heard him say he could do the rest of the show doing this. So make your own choices.
Freud Chicken.
And don't forget that coming up after 9 o'clock, not only will you be able to hear all these band names, but on CLTV, you'll be able to actually see him do it as well.
We have breaking news from the Mooch. Tweeted out just minutes ago. No press event, focusing on family, my work in the private sector. Hashtag moving forward. Stay tuned. I got to figure out something else to do at noon now.
Is he focusing on his estranged wife, a newborn child that he sent a text? When the child was born, all he did was send a text focusing on that?
No. He's focusing on his stuff. You're on the radio Sunday?
That's so last week, Steve.
It really is.
I am on the radio on Sunday with John Boyega from the Star Wars movie, Finn from the Star Wars movie. He's in this new movie, Detroit, which, by the way, is in a whole bunch more theaters this weekend. That one is highly, highly recommended. Hard to watch, but highly recommended. And also Will Poulter, who is in that movie, who is the kid in the movie Where the Millers. He is has an amazing performance in the movie Detroit as well. We'll talk with both of them on, what do we call it? Sunday morning.
That's right, and it's been that for quite some time.
Yes,
now.
It has.
That's Dean Richards, and we're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly higher than an eagle. You are the wind beneath my wings.
Bette Midler from Beaches, right?
Oh, every time.
One of the great voices of all time.
It might have appeared to go unknown.
Sunday morning on Sunday today, our friend Willie Geist will have his interview with Bette Midler. Who, by the way, is one of the funnier people you'll ever sit down with. Isn't that right, Willie?
No question about it. You'll forgive me. I'm just singing along with it. You played a nice extended cut of that coming in until you took me right back to Beaches. Oh, come on.
I remember the first time Willie and I watched Beaches together. We just sat there, held each other, and cried.
Ate bonbons in our slippers. It was a beautiful day. Over and over again.
She's a fine actress, tremendous stage talent. And do you know, Andre Darlis, that Bette Midler discovered Barry Manilow?
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
I did
That's
not know
true story.
That. Yeah. I love both of them.
She's one of those people, like, she's such an icon and such a diva that when you walk in an interview, you're like, all right, is she going to just come in and this is another interview? We sat there. I think it was supposed to be 20 minutes. We sat there for an hour and a half.
Oh, that's cool.
She just was telling stories about the early days in New York and how she got her start before she was Bette Midler in the early 70s, singing in bathhouses because she had a friend who ran a bathhouse, and how she sort of adopted that divine Miss M personality.
Yeah.
And then just this incredible incredible growth into a movie star and a stage star, and now she just won the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical for Hello, Dolly. But as you said, she's hilarious. She's bubbling with energy. She's leaning across the table while she tells you a story. She's one of those people who says, oh, and another thing. It's like you ask one question, and 15 minutes later, she's told you three stories. She's great.
She's like Tom Skilling with boobs.
What's one way of putting it?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's, you know, just trying to local analogy. You know, Willie, a big shot Hollywood trainer told me a great story about her a long time ago. Said he was training her, and she wasn't answering the door. So he's walking back out to her car, and then the door opens. Now, picture this. She's in Hollywood. She's Bette Midler. It's been the 90s. And she's the trainer's at the end of the driveway. He's just getting into his car. And Bette Midler goes, hey, what am I paying you? And he yells out whatever the number is. She goes, I'll double it if you never come back. That's who she is.
Man. And she's, and that's her. You know, she's really quick, too. That was one of my big takeaways sitting across the table for that long. It's like lightning fast on the jokes, on the stories, on, you know, recall of everything that's happened to her since 1970 in her professional career. Just like your expectation is high for someone like that. And so the danger always is that they won't meet the expectation. But she did. And then some. She's great.
I actually I mean, tell me if I'm nuts. I think she's underrated. You go to Bette Midler. She's a household name. Yeah, but I think she is so multi-talented. I don't know that we have the appreciation we ought to have for her.
I think there's something to that. She's, especially I think in her movie career too. I mean, I asked her, you'll see in the interview, what her favorite movie, Bette Midler movie was, and she jumped right out with her answer and then made this full-throated defense of why she was so great in it. She's like, I was perfect in that role. And she goes on and on reciting why she was like making the sale to me that she should be getting more acclaim for how great she was in that movie. A little bit of tongue-in-cheek, just incredibly charming.
Yeah, and she's great, period. Now, I'm trying to remember, when she was on Seinfeld, wasn't that a Kramer plot line on Seinfeld?
I don't know. Was she? I don't remember.
Let me go live to Jake on this. Mike Jacobson, when she did Seinfeld, Kramer was somehow in her life in a Broadway play, right? Wasn't that the memory?
So she was on a softball team, and George ran her over at home plate while Kramer was going to get her ice cream, and then he nurses her back to health.
Yeah, she's just, I mean, I've never seen anything with Bette Midler where I go, wow, that was disappointing. So
No. And hopefully this Sunday Today interview will join the list of things that weren't disappointing.
Now, in the continuing amusement of watching Willie do these interviews, where did you end up doing this? Because we've seen you in a hallway. We've seen you backstage in a green room. Where was this one?
This one was at the 21 Club here in New York City, which is one of her joints. We close to the theater near Midtown Broadway. We were upstairs in a room, and you know, you got to put on a show for Bette, so we wanted to give her a nice room and well decorated and well appointed, and I think there were like tea and finger sandwiches that neither of us touched over 90 minutes that were placed between us.
Well, it's cool that you're doing this because I know you're great at it, and also it's got to be fun. It's got to be fun to have these longer sit downs with people.
It is. And also to be able to sit there, and you know this too, and just have the people you want to have on the show. A lot of times, you know, when it's weekly, you can kind of cherry pick your favorite people who have something to say and can carry a 7 or 8 minute piece and not just pop in and say, hey, tell me about this new movie you're in. What was it like to work with De Niro? Okay, bye. What are you working on next?
Yep.
And so, this, you know, you get to go deeper and go through her career over 50 years and her personal life and everything. So it's a blast. I feel lucky to be in the seat across from these people I get to talk to every week.
It's Bette Midler with Willie Geist on Sunday Today. Willie, of course, his own Broadway superstar. Let me shift with you for a second, because I don't know how you guys handled this on MSNBC this morning on Morning Joe, but I'm conflicted about this. I've made no secret of what a huge fan of Donald Trump I am. But I am really conflicted about the leak of these phone calls that he had with, and this is in the first week of his presidency, with the Prime Minister of Australia and the President of Mexico. Because here's my conflict, Willie. I think it's vital information for us to know as a continuing body of evidence that the guy is not remotely prepared to be the President of the United States. But having said that, we have no business knowing the information.
I share your conflict, and I voiced almost exactly that sentiment this morning on Morning Joe. And by the way, so did people like David Axelrod yesterday. So did Tommy Vitor, who worked in the NSC for Obama. Okay. No fans, certainly, of Donald Trump came out yesterday and said, boy, this scares the hell out of me. The idea that you can leak these private conversations between presidents and foreign leaders, which damages the ability of any foreign leader or the willingness of any foreign leader to call and have a frank, honest conversation. This is how business is done. And
right.
So if you think that when you call the White House, it's going to be someday on the front page of the Washington Post, you're not going to say anything of any consequence. And, you know, they didn't make President Trump look good. They didn't make President Peña Nieto look good. They didn't make Prime Minister Trumbull look good. So why would you engage in that level of a conversation on a telephone if you knew it was going to be in the paper? So I think, you know, we learned things about Trump. We learned things, you know, he talked about New Hampshire being a drug den. He talked to the president of Mexico about, you know, the idea of a wall, a border wall, said, don't worry, that was just a political thing. You're not actually going to have to pay for it. It all comes out in the wash. Just say the right thing publicly. I mean, it's a look further behind the curtain, perhaps, than the public should have.
Is there a chance that these were leaked by the White House? And by that, I mean Trump's inner circle.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. We were talking about that on the show this morning. There were a few people, I think Joe and Mika included, who were suspicious that might have been the case because it allowed Trump. In his eyes, the actual content of the calls weren't that damaging. And he was in West Virginia last night with a chanting crowd who didn't seem to be too upset that he thought the border wall was just kind of a political ruse. But that they may, you know, that helped him in his distraction and his war with the media, you know, to say, look what they've done. They're leaking. The leakers are leaking against me. The media is publishing it. They're out to get us. So there is a school of thought, although I'm not totally convinced of it, that this could have come directly from a certain group inside the White House.
Now, I know you got to run, but here's the last piece of this. The Washington Post gets this information. You have a meeting where you decide, do you print it? Do you not print it? I assume in most cases they make a phone call to the White House and say,
yeah,
here's what we have. That's probably what happened, I guess, right?
They did, and they didn't get any pushback, interestingly enough. We had the reporter on who got these, national security reporter, and all they said is, we neither confirm nor deny the legitimacy of these leaked documents. So they didn't push back too hard on it, which had kind of opened them up to a little bit of that speculation you were talking about, whether it came from people inside the White House. But I don't blame the Washington Post. If NBC News received those documents from somebody, we'd verify them and publish them. But I think the idea that people around the president, any president, feel free and liberated to make everything public, every conversation, every document public, is a bit of a scary thing. I'm for transparency, but there are certain things we don't need to see.
Yeah, and I'm not sure this isn't one of them. Listen, Sunday with Willie and his new girlfriend, Bette Midler, Sunday morning.
I like that.
All right, buddy. All the best.
Steve, thanks. We'll see you 7 Sunday.
All right, thanks.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Come on, baby, don't you want to go? Come on, baby, don't you want to go? Back to that same old place, sweet home, Chicago.
Why leave town? Or if you do, just leave for a day and come back. Morgan Olson's here, editor of Time Out Chicago. You guys do great work. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Didn't you work for the Tribune?
I did. I worked up at Red Eye.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
Well, Time Out's lucky to have you.
Thank you.
One-day trips from Chicago, if you want to save a few bucks or maybe you don't have a lot of time, this is a cool idea.
Totally.
By the way, I can't say the word because I don't like the word. So you have to say the word whenever it comes up in a sentence.
Should I say it now?
These words are called what?
Staycations.
That's right. Now back to Morgan. All right, so I'm going to hit you with a few of these. You tell me about it. What am I going to get in Fenville, Michigan?
Sure. So this is kind of a cool place to go if you really like beer, good food. You enjoy those things in Chicago. You can find the same things in Michigan. And Fenville's very close. I think it's under a 3-hour drive from Chicago.
I've never even heard of Fenville.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah, yeah. So we tried to
just on the other side of the lake, then.
Yeah, we tried to sprinkle in a couple of kind of unexpected places that people haven't heard of. And then a couple of the favorites. So.
And Fenville's particularly a food town of some sort?
Yeah, and it's also home to Virtue Cider. So if you're a fan of cider, gluten-free as well,
and we're
that's
talking
a fun
hard
trip.
Cider?
Hard cider.
Dave?
Yeah.
Dave, you want to pick it up from here?
Hard cider. Well, it's good. It's fruit. It's made with fruit.
Right.
So it's healthy.
Right. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Not familiar with it.
Oh, no.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
It's basically a suburb of Chicago.
It kind of is, yeah. What do we know about Milwaukee that we don't already know?
Yeah, so Milwaukee, I feel like most people from Chicago drive up there. You can just as easily get on the Amtrak. It's an hour and a half. Amtrak is BYOB, by the way. And you can really do Milwaukee in a day, or you could spend a weekend there, or do, you know, take a Friday off and do a long weekend. But the culinary scene up there is booming. I grew up there, and the scene that's happening now is like a 180 from when I was up there. Restaurants, bars, breweries, everything. It's more than just cheese curds and beer.
And it's not just Summerfest.
Oh yeah, avoid Summerfest in my opinion. Yeah.
Summerfest overdone at this point?
I think so.
Okay. Well, you were a little spoiled on it, right?
Because
you grew up
there.
Yeah. South Bend, Indiana, Dave. They have a famous football team there.
Yes, they do.
Yes. And in South Bend, what are we going to find?
Yeah, so we've got some cool museums in South Bend. Obviously, the campus is a huge attraction if you haven't been.
If you're a tourist and you're just interested, can you wander around the campus?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, you can drive around, wander around, whatever. And then there's some kind of like funky ethnic cuisine around the South Bend campus that would kind of surprise you.
Not your typical Indiana fare?
No. It's a good spread. So, yeah.
Madison, Wisconsin is a beautiful town.
It
and
is.
The campus is beautiful.
Well, it's especially fun to go in fall. I mean, what's better than being back on a college campus come fall when the leaves are changing? But Madison's got really great, if you're into like outdoor trekking around, getting in a canoe, a kayak, whatever, and then having a beer, of course, on the campus patio after that. This is your trip.
Have you done Madison?
I have not, but I was going to ask you, what's good for outdoorsy, for, you know, if you want to just be on the water?
Yeah, so there's two lakes.
Well, you like to go hunting, I know. You're big, you know, you like to go big game hunting.
I'm looking for something, so I have some time off at the end of the month. I don't big game hunt.
You got to bring your musket?
I was going to say.
No, I'm not going to bring my musket, but I want to do something. I want to hike, you know, mm-hmm. something like a Starved Rock, but something on the water as well, too.
Dave, you've done this after games.
Oh, I'm in Madison a lot, but I'm there during the basketball. So, sorry, Morgan.
No, it's
there
okay.
During
go
basketball.
Ahead, Morgan.
This is good for you, ice fishing. Oh. There's always people out there ice fishing.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I'm sorry, Morgan.
Go out in the cold.
Go
yeah.
before the water freezes over.
Okay.
Take a rental out. Do paddleboarding, kayaking, canoeing, what have you. You can get on bikes. It's a beautiful campus, but there's also natural beauty all around the area that's just unbeatable.
Downtown Madison's nice.
It is.
It is. There's a great farmer's market, too.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Where is Harbor Country, Michigan?
So that's like just right around the bend as well.
Okay.
So I think we're
looking
at... Because
I've been to Benton Harbor, but you're talking about other harbors?
Yeah.
Is that by St. Joe's?
Yep.
If you go... Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's a great day trip too.
Okay.
Hour and
yeah.
a half.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not... That one's not far
So
either.
We got a little boating there?
Yeah. And that one's got a really cool place called Journeyman Distillery. They're doing all their own spirits there.
Dave.
Have you...
Distillery.
Why... Andre is the one who's
resident.
Excited.
Yeah.
It's distillery. It's not just cider anymore, Dave.
Yeah.
Yes, you can have all of that there.
The hard stuff.
There you
the
go.
The really hard stuff.
Yeah.
New Glarus, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much about timeout, but a lot of the timeout stuff here is revolving around booze.
I know.
I thought you guys at Red Eye were plowing it upstairs. Turns out you brought it over to timeout as well.
My friend Audrey, who works at Channel 9, she and her boyfriend just did this, and they went to New Glarus for the beer. Partially, but they said the shopping, there's great little shops there.
Yeah, it's a cute little town, too. I mean, I feel like you have to be in it for the beer. That's the main attraction
Dave,
there.
Beer.
It's very
Spotted
standard.
Cow. Spotted Cow.
You can't
right?
get it in Chicago. So yep. you smuggle back a bunch of Spotted Cow, make your Wisconsin friends
I thought it was
really
like,
happy.
I thought it was like a regular cow, and Dave was seeing spots.
It's a nice party trick.
Okay. Yeah. Grand Rapids. What do we not know about Grand Rapids?
Yeah. So I feel bad. Grand Rapids is another beer heavy
place.
Well,
obviously, you guys
lots of craft breweries. So yeah.
Yeah, you guys are heavy drinkers. I think we've come to establish that fact by now. Oglesby, Illinois.
Yeah, so that's home of Starved Rock, which we were just talking about. Right. So this is after you've had, you know, five beers, you know, and you want to walk off those calories 2 days later. This is the place you're going to go to see natural beauty, really, really the closest you can get to Chicago, of just waterfalls and hikes and just gorgeous, gorgeous scenery.
Where's Monroe, Wisconsin?
Way up there.
Like north, north?
Yeah.
Is that someplace you've been to, Mary Vanderbilt? Monroe, Wisconsin?
That's not that far up there, I don't think. No. I'm from, you know, northern Wisconsin, which is by Duluth. So
northern Wisconsin is Canada.
I was just saying, Mary thinks 6 hours.
That's like Minocqua.
I'm talking Hayward. I'm talking right. Hayward way up there. That's northern Wisconsin.
But Monroe is on the way to north.
I think so. I can't remember where exactly Monroe is.
What are we doing there? Shooting stuff? Hunting? What are we doing?
What are we doing in Monroe? So that's a cool place to go if you're looking for kind of unique food, something a little bit different. Lots of German food in the area. Of course, German food comes with beer, but you could also do brats and pretzels.
It's not me. It's Morgan. Listen to her. I'm not saying it.
Dave, they have lots of beer.
245. So a little hike, but not too bad.
Okay. Holland, Michigan, I've been to. It's a beautiful little town.
Yeah. It's a fun little place to walk around, spend the day, especially come fall, if you want to be near the water still. But just kind of slow down for the weekend. It's a great place to go.
We've got Orion on the line now. And where's Monroe?
Oh, I remember now. Go ahead.
Oh, do we have him?
Oh. Yeah, it's by La Crosse.
Wrong fader.
Oh, Big O? Don't have him. Okay.
It's by La Crosse, I'll tell you that. And La Crosse is beautiful. I mean, because of, you know, the mountains, just the mountains and just all that kind of stuff in that area. It's by the Mississippi River. Beautiful.
So near the river.
Yes.
Okay. So for quick getaways. Lake Geneva. I've been to Lake Geneva a million times. You got the golf courses. You got the nice little downtown. You got the Lake Geneva Resort, which has a great spa.
Love Lake Geneva.
Hard to beat Lake Geneva.
Totally. And I feel like this is the trip for maybe couples that are looking to get away for a romantic vacation. Something that's close. You know, you're not going down to Mexico, but you're still getting kind of that intimate, fun feel.
This time of year, you can rent a house in Lake Geneva for like $8. Did you know that? $8?
Not that. You know, that's a good question. If you go to any of these places, Morgan, would you suggest like a B&B or an Airbnb, something a little more intimate?
Totally. So everyone is different. There's some places on this list where I would totally recommend like looking into the boutique hotel scene to get something a little bit more, you know, curated experience. But my favorite way to travel is definitely doing Airbnb homes and really immersing myself into the city or the town that I'm in rather than, you know, sitting 14 stories up in a Hilton or Hyatt, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I do feel like you kind of get a different experience.
I do friend B&B. I wait for my friends to leave town. I take their house.
That works.
Or in Samuelson, Monroe, Wisconsin. You been there?
Oh, many, many times. It's the Swiss cheese capital of the United States because it's a Swiss settlement, really. And every other year, and I don't know if it's this year, but every other year they have a huge Swiss cheese festival in Monroe, just a few miles north of the Illinois state line. It's a relatively easy drive from Chicago.
So do you get tired of eating Swiss cheese when you're there?
No. Uh-uh. Because you can eat it in several different ways. And, of course, you have the beer to wash it down. It's pretty good.
We have the Mirai corn this morning, and
Gary Pack showed up? Okay.
Yes, and I would say that is another good day trip. Dave, no booze on this one. But to go to any of your farmers' markets and go pick up your Mirai corn.
Yes, indeed. And if you go to the Twin Gardens Farm website, they list all of the farmers markets that also feature Mirai corn.
The show business perks never end.
No.
No.
Yeah, it's funny, honestly, for all the, free stuff you get for being on the show, Corn Day, as it's come to be called, everybody's going, well, when's the corn coming? When's the corn coming?
I know.
Today's Mirai Corn Day, and everybody around here, they carry their green mesh bags like they've just won the lottery.
Did you hear Nick this morning?
No.
Nick saying, I'm the first one at the station to get the Mirai corn. He had Gary Peck in studio with him, and he was like, Gary, you always get me the corn first before anybody else.
Suck up.
Yeah, I saw Gary this
Suck
morning.
Up.
Yeah.
He's very
It'll be available to probably middle of October or the end of October, because they do, I think, about 20 plantings spaced out over the spring and early summer so that we can have Mirai corn all the way into the fall.
It was like Christmas morning when Marlene Wells walked in here today.
Right.
Wasn't it? Our eyes lit up.
Right. Well, and on top of the fact that it's Friday and I can go straight to my car, I don't have to go upstairs and have any meetings. Thank you. Talk to you again in a few minutes. Yes, Amber.
I just wanted to mention something about the corn because he set it on with Nick. They're a little light right now because it was cold in April.
Light meaning light in supply?
On supply. So if you go to their website, there's like a picture of a flower and it'll say which markets they're at. Or it won't be there if they're not at the markets yet. But in a few weeks, they'll be in full swing.
They're a little behind on the supply. But if it has a flower next to the farmer's market they're in?
That means they're going to have corn there. Yeah.
Okay.
The Mirai.
Thanks. All right. Appreciate it. You know what goes great with corn, Dave? Booze on day trips.
Well, actually, you know, corn is an ingredient, I believe, in some. Is it not?
Really stretching. Yeah, it is. Really stretching.
In the distilling process.
Fairbury,
it is
Illinois.
An important ingredient.
It is a big O.
I was out there on a limb all by myself. Thanks, Big O.
No, as a matter of fact, we now have some corn farmers in northern Illinois who want to get more money for their corn, and they are beginning to distill whiskey.
Oh, Dave, whiskey.
Oh, geez.
Morgan Olson's here from Time Out Chicago. Where's Fairbury, Illinois?
Yeah, so that's about a two-hour drive south of here. And if you're a fan of, you know, kind of nouveau Chicago restaurants like Bad Hunter, some of the newbies that have joined in the last year, you'll recognize a couple of the farm names that are down that way. Kilgus Farmstead and then Slagle Family Farms provide a lot of produce up to Chicago restaurants. So you can actually go down there, visit the farms. A lot of Chicago restaurants go down there and do farm dinners, which is really cool. So if you get the chance to like sync it up with, I know sometimes Honey Butter Fried Chicken goes down there. If you get the chance to sync it up with a dinner like that, it's a super memorable experience.
Orion has taught us many times, I don't care where you're eating in Chicago, it came from a farm somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And finally, Michigan City, Indiana.
Yeah, so you've got Indiana Dunes down there, lots
outlet
of beer
malls.
Again, outlet malls, yeah. But it's kind of your, you know, catch-all experience. You can go shopping, you can go explore the dunes, you can go drink all the beer you want, huge
Dave,
beer
drink
city.
Drink all the beer you want. this time at Chicago Peace, Morgan, maybe Dave's favorite ever.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
We all compiled our favorite day trips amongst the staff. So, yeah, this is
Will you take Dave next
best.
Time because he shouldn't be driving?
Absolutely. I'll be his DD.
There you go. That's
it. Thanks, Morgan.
Nice to see you, Morgan.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Morgan Olson, Time Out Chicago, with a special appearance by Orion Samuelson. Secondary special appearance by Mirai Sweetcorn.
There you go.
924.
Equal appearance.
Yeah, there you go. Back after this on 720 WGN. It's 926. I want to play a piece of sound for you before we run out of time, as we always do. And then Hamp will be on in the next half hour. It's cut one, Jake. This is Donald Trump. You know, President Trump, the comedy stylings of President Trump. Okay. President Trump last night in West Virginia. If you were in the middle of what he's in the middle of, would this be funny to you?
Have you seen any Russians in West Virginia or Ohio or Pennsylvania? Are there any Russians here tonight? Any Russians? They can't beat us at the voting booths. So they're trying to cheat you out of the future and the future that you want. They're trying to cheat you out of the leadership you want. With a fake story that is demeaning to all of us, and most importantly, demeaning to our country and demeaning to our Constitution.
So since it's a fake story, did he write a fake statement for Donald Trump Jr. to read to the fake media? Okay.
Yeah, it was a fake statement that he wrote to respond to the fake story that we were all overreacting to.
Got it.
Yeah, it's Friday. you know, last half hour of the week. And we talk a lot because it's a talk show. So by this time on a Friday, you know, you're sort of running out. I'm not going to lie to you. I've known you for a long time, listener. But we pack all the entertainment and information we can in right to the last minute at 10 o'clock, or in my case, 10:02 or 10:03. And in this case, I just would like to thank the President of the United States for having me not have to add anything to that. Mm-hmm. I think it stands on its own. It's ridiculous. Do we need a break for the big story? We do. And what are you covering in the big story?
Big story is going to be Lollapalooza. What's going to happen today, because they had to evacuate yesterday?
Oh, that's good. I'll give you a few more band names.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, okay. Hey, by the way, learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy with our friend Jane Monzuris, Chicago. That's Sundays at 11:30 in the morning on WGN-TV.
Like gig canceled. Gig canceled. Do you know about gig canceled?
That's a band you were in.
No, it's a touring band. Back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
We don't have any answers. You know, this serial franchise abuser, John Fox, this is beyond unacceptable. When you are facing a team like the Eagles, and they've got a couple of good players, nobody knew who the receivers were coming in here. Okay, they got Darren Sproles in the backfield. He's older than the Cousins.
And we have a rookie coming in at home on Monday night television, and they come in and slap us around.
That's on John Sexy Fox's fault. That's his fault, clearly.
During this past week, you correct those mistakes. And how dare that happen? How dare Fox let that happen?
And that was last year. Ah. Listen, I don't want to rush a minute of summer. And I need some pumping up for this bear season. But I know one thing. I'm happy to have Hamp back on the program. The Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton, joins us now. Oh,
and so it begins.
The human highlight reel. Oh, that's tremendous. How are you, buddy?
Well, good, Steve. And, you know, I got to tell you, it seems like yesterday that we were looking at each other across the studio like, what just happened? You know,
that's exactly right.
Nobody's come in. Monday Night Football, we had no answers. They slap us around, and old Foxy, the player's pal, is back at it. You know, yesterday there was a cloud over the practice field, so hey, let's make sure we don't practice. Let's go inside and do a walkthrough. So things continue, and another season begins.
Nobody knows more about NFL defenses than you. Last year, I think this number's right, the Bears forced 10, 11, 12 turnovers max. You can't do that in the National Football League. Or did they address it in the offseason to your liking?
Well, two things about it. And a lot of people don't realize it, but turnovers are man-made. And we only forced 10 of them last year. 10. The safety position has only come up with one interception the last year and a half. There is a certain process that as a defense, you have to believe in that, you know, great pressure, sudden pressure, you know, coverage, knocking people and off of routes, doing different things to disrupt offenses. When offenses are in rhythm, you know, right now we're looking at the opening date, September 10th, and while we're doing whatever we're doing, the Atlanta Falcons down in Georgia are working with Matt Ryan, the defending player of the year in the NFL, Julio Jones, who could have been the player of the playoffs, and all those other receivers. They're working on precision pass routes, and we need to figure out a way to disrupt them. And then when with that comes, you know, situations where you can pressure, you can force bad throws, you can get tip balls, you can punch the ball out like Peanut used to.
Yeah.
All those, but it's all based on man-made occurrences. They're not going to make. They're not going to go out there and give it to us, throw it to us. We're going to have to take it away. We haven't done it for a long, long time here, and it all starts in training camp being disruptive, and I don't know if we're doing enough right now to get ready. We're going to play a preseason game next Thursday, so we'll get a glimpse of what they think is suitable for the first couple of weeks of practice and see if we're kind of staying on a course.
And I know whenever we do this, I start to sound like the old guy, right? Because maybe I am the old guy. But growing up and being a fan of the National Football League, and obviously a fan of the Bears, the coaches were always tough coaches. Yeah. But the players were always as tough or tougher than the coach, and they were always trying to prove to the coach that they were tougher than the coach. I'm not sure that's the way they do it in the National Football League anymore. I'm talking about defense here. And I don't know that you can win if your players aren't as tough as the coach. Vic Fangio's a tough guy. But is Vic Fangio the right guy to lead this Bears in what has amounted to a rebuild? Because in the NFL, you can turn it around in one season with personnel and coaching. Is he still the right guy as a defensive coordinator?
Boy, I sure hope so. And, Steve, I'll tell you, he came with a portfolio of success from the 49ers. He had great players that played great on a weekly basis. They played in the Super Bowl. Vic Fangio, unless he's taken a bunch of get-dumb pills, still knows how to put a defense together and get them schematically to be formidable. Now, do we have the players? You know, the old saying, you know, power unused is power wasted. We went into last season expecting our front seven to be, a really good part of our football team. Due to, just poor play and injuries, we didn't do anything. We didn't slow anybody down. Eddie Goldman played in less than 20% of the plays. Pernell McPhee, the guy, maybe the most disruptive player in the front seven, he started the season on the PUP list. Physically unable to perform. Well, he starts this year. So there's a lot of reasons to say, it's the same old, same old. But we'll find out. You know, Akeem Hicks had his best year. Leonard Floyd showed some flashes, some growth. There's a reason to believe that, hey, we can still put a pretty good defense on the field, but there's a lot of question marks at corner, at safety. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. I'm just hoping we're getting it done in the daycare down in Bourbonnais.
Hey, Hap, is Floyd maybe the key to just how disruptive they can be? Because the early...
Which Floyd again, are you referring to? Floyd the barber?
This would be Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd, okay.
The first rounder who had his rookie season cut short by a concussion. And I know it's only a week at training camp, but so far the reports on him have been very positive.
Two things. Number one, when you draft a player that high, they got to be difference makers. Not only he, but Kevin White, and eventually Mitch Trubisky. All those guys, they're drafted in the top seven slots of the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. You have got to be an impact player. Not once a month, not twice a year, but week after week, play after play. I'm hoping he does. I hope, I told you when he was drafted, I met him, and he's real narrow at the hips. He just looked like an NBA, shooting guard to me. And when you're that type of physiological build, you're going to get beat around, batted around, and you're not going to be as healthy as maybe some guys built, built for the duration, if you will, thicker bodies. But so far, so good. They really haven't done a whole lot of hitting. I think this is only today the second padded practice in the first week, which is mind-blowing to me. But the long and short of it is, yes, he has to be a factor. He's got to be a difference maker. Not only that, but we got to get those two inside linebackers back to where they were last year. A lot of people don't realize it, but Freeman and Trevathan, they were as good as there was in the game of football last year. And just the fact that we didn't beat anybody, nobody cared and nobody noticed, but those guys are really, really good players. We can start getting some other guys to show up around them. We got a chance to compete, but boy, I tell you, Steve, I know you've looked at the schedule. The first 4 weeks of the season are going to be a nightmare. We've got Atlanta exactly at home, right. Then we got to go to Tampa. Everybody's expecting Tampa to make the playoffs, and we're back home against the Steelers, and then at the Packers. That's a rough one.
He's saying it's not good when you look at the first. You look at the first four and you go, "We need a miracle for 2-2." That's not what you want.
Well, and you're exactly right. And here's the hidden hand behind it all. You know, you say, okay, Atlanta, we can beat them. Atlanta collapsed in the second half of the Super Bowl in such a colossal manner that they, 7-8 months now, those guys, I couldn't sleep at night if I was on that team. I couldn't wait
right
to play my next game that mattered. And so, I mean, those guys are going to come in on the warpath. And then Tampa Bay, you don't think that they know who Mike Glennon is? They've had him, you know, in Tampa for 4 years. They know who he is. I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, subplots to the month of September that could really play badly for the old player's pal, John Fox.
And I give Dave the last word here. And Dave, before you say something, though, yes. I don't want to take this down that road again because we've beat it to death to some extent. However, what Hamp just said is really important. Tampa had Mike Glennon for 4 years.
Yep.
That's another NFL franchise. They have buildings, equipment. They've got a charter. Mm-hmm. They've got a logo. They've got helmets. They've got uniforms. They didn't see anything in Mike Glennon that they thought was worth a starting job and $16 million a year. Now, I know they went out and drafted the crab leg kid.
Yes, James Switch.
Yeah.
It's not really his name.
But having said that, they didn't see what the Bears see in this. So unless there's a Dak Prescott surprise wrapped up in this guy's uni, I think maybe Trubisky gets on the field faster than you think.
Well, I don't know, Hamp. I don't see that unless there is some sort of catastrophe hits this team. I don't see.
Would 0-4 be a catastrophe?
I don't think that's what's going to do it. Right. Do you, Hamp? Do you think that would propel them to throw Mitch Trubisky out there?
Well, the way this was all set, you know, what happened in the draft, and we spoke about this last spring.
Yeah.
Mr. Cat, the way they traded up and went and signed Mike, this is what a general manager and new coach does their first year. Now, obviously, whether you want to say Cutler, you know, negated that type of a plan of action for 2 years, they put it on hold, hoping against hope that Cutler or you know, they could catch lightning in a bottle. Well, it didn't work. Now, I think John Fox thinks, as long as I can stay with Glennon and keep Trubisky on the shelf for next year, and I can show him what I can do next, I think that's what he's thinking will get him through this year, whether it's 2-14 or 8-8 or whatever it may be. The sooner Glennon gets, you know, beat up, roughed up, or run off the field, and then Trubisky has to come in, then I think the clock starts on John Fox. So I think that's going to be a catastrophe situation. But either way, this is going to be a year unlike any I've ever, you know, witnessed here in Chicago because of what's happened. Like I said, you know, things like this, you know, occur, but they don't occur in a general manager and head coach's third year. So we're kind of in uncharted territory. And Steve, you're exactly right. If Mike Glennon was so great and worth $44 million, why did they go with the first pick in the draft to get rid of it and get Jameis Winston? So, hey, I hate to meet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, but I smell smoke. Let me just say that.
Well, and here's the thing, Dave, and Hamp and Andre and everybody. Hamp put it best last year when he said, look, he was all Sean, then he was some Sean, then he was no Sean. Now he's gone, Sean. Yeah. The guy's got to have somebody to throw the football to, too. And let's not pretend that we know what Kevin White's capable of because we still got to figure that out. Other than everything previously discussed, it's nothing but rainbows and puppies, kids.
And like I said, you know, of course, you know, they are the beloved Chicago Bears, and we're going to, you know, hope against hope that they're somehow, some way, able to go out with fire extinguishers on a weekly basis and put the fires out. We're going to find out who wants to play pretty quick because, like I said, that month of September, nobody in the NFL is going to have that type of a hard hat on, and it's going to be tough. It really is.
It's the legend, the Hall of Famer. It's Dan Hampton. Looking forward to another great season with Hamp. Dave?
Hey, Hamp, are you going to Canton this weekend?
No, I can't go this week. And, you know, I was over about 3 weeks ago. But I got to tell you, it's a great class and a bunch of worthy players going in. And you know, I got to tell you, Kurt Warner, he was one of those kind of players that was an amazing story. You know, you're talking about first rounders here and there on our team that don't do anything. This was a guy that was stocking, you know, shelves at a grocery store in Iowa, and then now today he's in Canton. So it's a great story.
How about
that?
It is a great story.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, buddy.
Yeah, it is.
Enjoy your time. We'll talk to you soon. That's Dan Hampton, and we'll come back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.